At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. This is one of two podcasts that are coming out this week. We have Cody Rhodes from the WWE on this episode. No Sal Licata and Traina Thoughts. We'll have that in the pod that comes out later this week. And I don't want to announce the guest for later this week because things happen in the booking issue, and there's booking issues, so I don't want to tease it, but we'll have a media pod for you later this week. This episode, Cody Rhodes, WWE superstar, he's the feature of a new documentary coming out on Peacock. It's called American Nightmare, Becoming Cody Rhodes, must watch for all WWE fans. And this is a great interview with Cody. We get into his loss at WrestleMania to Roman Reigns when everyone thought he was going to win, get into the documentary, his relationship with his dad, Dusty Rhodes. A lot of fun topics as well. We get into Cody joining TikTok, how often he has to dye his hair. Are his suits part of his gimmick? He has some words for Elon and changing the name of Twitter to X. We go all over the place with Cody Rhodes from the WWE in this episode. And like I said, this is one of two for this week. So check back later in the week for another episode. If you missed any recent episodes, just go into the archives, check them out. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk was on last week. Andrew Marchand 2 weeks ago. Adam Schein 3 weeks ago. So check those out. Subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. We should we'll be having Seth Rollins on the podcast next week as well. So if you're a WWE fan, you'll want to subscribe. All right, let's get to this episode. Cody Rhodes of the WWE right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, thrilled to have him back. He was on recently, and now I think you were on before WrestleMania. Now it's SummerSlam time. One of the WWE's most popular superstars, the American Nightmare, has a doc coming out on Peacock we'll discuss. Cody Rhodes. Cody, how's it going?
I feel part of me, the heel inside of me, thinks you should have said the most popular.
The most popular. I know.
But you were very diplomatic, and there's a lot of popular guys right now. The guys and girls, it's a lot of different people to come to these shows for.
Here's why I say one of the most popular, because I know if I say the most popular, the second this podcast comes out, I'll get all these tweets from people being like, this guy's more popular. This guy's more popular. How could you say? Yeah. And so I try to avoid it. Well, I want some. Go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't that the thing today? If you say something nice about anything, it becomes a lightning rod to argue with it. Like, nobody can just say, oh, that's such and such's opinion. That's an, like, everything becomes, I don't like to put anything out anymore because everything becomes a, let's discuss it. Why?
Right.
Why don't, you know, like, this is just my opinion, you know?
You could use the approach. See, sometimes I use the approach where, like, I say it in a definitive way where I know people are going to argue, but like yesterday, for instance, I tweeted it something like to the effect of like, it blows my mind that any rational human being would order an Italian ice in any flavor other than cherry. So when you say it like that, like, you know, I'm basically saying if you don't know how to cherry, you're an asshole. then it puts people off guard. And then it's a little, if you just say like, I like Italian ices, then people rip you. You got to be aggressive with the opinion.
It feels like, so you have to just really commit hard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say another reason, maybe not to say the most popular, is because you're a New York guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Would Mr. Heyman text you immediately?
So that's what I was almost going to tell you when I almost interrupted you earlier. What I was going to say is I had written a column. It was the anniversary of either Bobby Heenan's passing or his birthday. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I wrote a column that day for SI, just like as a tribute column to Bobby Heenan. And I called him the greatest manager in pro wrestling history. A couple of months later, I have Heyman on this podcast.
Yes.
And as I'm introducing him, he just starts. And for like 5 minutes straight without taking a breath, just rips me a new asshole the entire start of the podcast.
So Mr. Heyman disagreed with you that obviously. So I'll go ahead and say it. Bobby Heenan is the greatest manager of all time, but I don't really think of Heyman as a manager. He's far more in a sense that here he was this disruptor, this creator of an alternative project, which changed our industry. He's also very much with like what you see with Roman. He's Roman's real rep and his TV rep. So the level of influence and the amount of things that Heyman has his hands in, he's the best at that. He's the best at that. But from just a manager standpoint, Bobby Heenan is, dude, you put him with anybody and they became a star. The Heenan family, it was like, yeah, I put them with Bobby. Bobby was the man. Yeah, I don't think you were wrong.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because now we'll cut that clip of you saying that and we'll tag Heyman on it and we'll try to get some.
Yeah, I don't think you were wrong. Heyman, good at many things. Bobby Heenan, best manager ever.
I agree. But Heyman's been good. He comes on. He's always fun. We mix it up. We could start with this in terms of in the WWE world. They had SmackDown at Madison Square Garden about, I think it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I took family. We went. We had a great time. My niece, I have a niece who's a huge Cody Rhodes fan, hugely disappointed you aren't there, even though you're not a SmackDown guy. She was asking some of the PR people, is Cody here? You know, upset you weren't there. I had posted something that I was going just to acknowledge Roman Reigns, and Heyman saw it and was very, you know, he got a kick out of that. So we're on good terms now, me and Heyman.
Yeah, let's keep it that way. He's great. He really is. He's definitely great. Yeah.
So, you know, at SmackDown, it was so fun, and you weren't there that night. Seth Rollins was there, and, you know, you have Madison Square Garden singing his theme song. When we left the garden, they were singing it outside the garden. It was quite a scene. Your theme song gets sort of like the same play. It's like one of those, you know, you watch Monday Night Raw almost for that moment. We have a little clip. We're going to play a little audio of it just to get this conversation going. My producer, Shelby, play that clip. This was over the weekend in Monterrey, Mexico of Cody's theme song. Let's roll that. Can you describe in words what that moment is like when it's a huge show like that and that all those people are screaming and singing that one line with the whoa, 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 actually?
It's this evolving, everything you'll see when I walk out and you see on my face is happening. It's organic. It's not performative because I've had the woes in this song for now over 6 years. This song went everywhere with me. It traveled from every independent, every company I worked for, and it came back to WWE. When they started doing the woes, it just popped up. I think Kevin Dunn had framed the entrance in a way that it made it conducive to do them together. And then there are some places like Puerto Rico and London. London really said, you know what? We're just going to sing the whole song. We'll sing it word for word. And that's Saudi Arabia. We're going to sing the whole song. That's, I don't know how to describe it. It's you don't ever want that to end. You know, you hear it getting louder and louder with the woes every night. And I'm sure Seth experiences this when they go back and forth. All I can think of when it happens is how lucky I am, A, but B, how do we get it even louder? How do we get this to be even more of a thing? And WWE, the way they produce and shoot pro wrestling, sports entertainment, makes this a very big, it makes it a part of the night. Like if I was to do a segment and the woes not be in there, my music not be in there, I feel like we're cheating them a little bit. That's a thing we do together. We do the woes together, folks. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like everyone kind of understands that. Triple H definitely really understands that. You got to give them that thing. He had an interest himself when he'd stand there in the dark and the whole, that's part of the action in the show. So it's very much now roped into the fabric of Monday Night Raw, the woes. And I don't know who started them, how they started, but I'm glad it's happening.
This is going to be tough because I'm going to ask you to do this off the top of your head. Do you have any, if I had to ask you for like your all-time favorite or most fun crowd interaction, sing along with a WWE superstar, not yours, is there one that stands out to you that, you know, you always remember like being?
I would say in terms of them vocally, like we're going to sing, we're going to provide basically background to the music that's playing. I think Paris, we recently did a live event in Paris and a big sellout over there. And I had said after my match, it might be time to consider doing a PLE over here. And it was Seth that night because they took it upon themselves to not just do his bit. They did it throughout the whole match. Right. So to the point where I don't know if it became a distraction or if it was just as, hey, this is what we're doing. This is y'all play with this. We know these live events have a little bit different structure than TV. So we're going to sing this whole time and y'all pepper it into what you're doing. He was wrestling The Miz at the time, I believe. And that was really, really cool to see. And why I thought it was really cool, and I believe I told him afterwards, was certain things are flavor of the week. Flavor of the week, they like this, they dance with this, they might echo this catchphrase, something of that effect. Seth is nothing. He's not flavor of the week. He's Seth Rollins. He's been, on top or near the top for over 5 years from at this point, an incredible run. So to, at this point in your career, have a new layer to what you do is a sign in how good you are. Like, it's not like this is a new kid coming up from NXT and this is the fun thing and we hope it doesn't fizzle. We hope we make it more. His is just this new thing that his audience has given him and the WWE universe has jumped in on. So Paris was really cool to hear. Yeah. Really, really great crowd. My joke about Paris is we had such a good time and they were on absolute fire that my fear is we would do a PLE over there and they would just hate it. It would just be because everybody came back from that show like, hey, we got to go over there for a SummerSlam, a Survivor Series. Everyone kept saying that. And my gut was thinking, well, what if they're not as good? What if that was just a moment in time? You know,
right,
you never
know. Yeah. I realized at the top, I didn't give like a proper plug here for the doc. So let me just do that quickly. It's Cody Rhodes, American Nightmare, Becoming Cody Rhodes on Peacock. It comes out Monday, July 31st. I watched most of it last night. I thought it was excellent. It was really good. There was a bunch of things in there I found fascinating. Before we get to the doc, which I want to get into a lot of specifics, let's just go back to WrestleMania because, like I said, you were on before WrestleMania. I was legitimately shocked you didn't win at WrestleMania, as I think most people were. And it really, I mean, in a way, it shows the beauty of the WWE in that I think everyone expected you to win. Everyone wanted you to win. You didn't win. People are pissed. But it's sort of, then maybe you sort of understand it a little bit in terms of more of the story. If it doesn't end with you winning, I think, you know, someone's going to go to Stanford and cause a riot. But when you look back on it now, 3 months removed, what do you think of how it all played out?
I feel you have moments in your career where you get stuck in them, whether they're so good or whether they're so low. that you get stuck in these moments. It's not unlike if you have a traumatic experience in your personal life. But for me, I felt, and I still do, 3 months removed, very stuck in that there was a very long period of time where I was sitting in the ring. I knew I was sitting in the ring and knew I had lost and knew I'm watching people not leave. They're looking at me. They're looking at me and they're either frustrated, they're sad for me, they're mad at me. But you usually see at the end of the night, some people heading for the aisles, heading, they're going to beat traffic, something. We were just stuck. And I knew we were filming me and I just, in the internal monologue I had when I saw my family at ringside, and then I saw some of the most diehard fans fully decked out in every piece of merch for me they could have possibly bought. The internal monologue was really just telling myself to get up, was to get up. And then I wanted to make a point that I was not going to walk what we call loser lane. I'm going to walk all the way back up this 70-yard ramp, and I want to feel every bit of this loss. Whether you look at what we do is from entertainment standpoint or true sport, however you do, it was a huge loss, huge. And I wanted to feel it all the way because I didn't want to go see my wife afterwards and just be destroyed or distraught or in a bad mood or have some tantrum. I wanted it all to happen right then and there. Just take it in, feel it. Look everyone in the eyes that you possibly can. That was a big thing for me. I was trying to look as many people in the eyes as I possibly could in my best way of saying to them, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I had to mentally prepare for the amount of, oh my gosh, but you main evented WrestleMania. Oh, dude, you main evented WrestleMania. I kept hearing you already won. And I wanted, even some of my close friends, I wanted just to jab right in the jaw. Like, no. All I found out from main eventing a WrestleMania is I want to do it again and I have to win. Like it's right. A sickness, you know, like right. You got this high and for it to go like that, it's just, I can't accept it. I can't allow it. And then my world filled up right next day. I jump into the thing with Brock Lesnar. So again, I feel like I'm stuck there. I'd love SummerSlam to be the moment that's like, hey, moving forward, hopefully defeating Brock Lesnar, moving forward and without saying anything. Without doing the old this little number around the waist, let them know the thing I came back for, we're still on the path. We're still on the path. And I want to be confident about it in the best of ways because he rode with me all the way to WrestleMania in Los Angeles. And hopefully they can ride with me to wherever it is and wherever we go next.
Were you surprised at all about how surprised the WWE Universe was that you did not win the belt that night?
Because people
were legitimately shocked and pissed.
I was surprised at how pissed people were.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that a lot of managerial people in the company reached out to me, checking on me, and also reached out to me to let me know, like, don't go online. Don't go online. And I didn't even think to go. It's that such an incredibly busy week. There's so many emotions in that experience. I got my family with me at the time. I've lost in front of them, which is another level of embarrassment. I didn't even think to go online, but just the fact that they were preparing me and like battening down the hatches for this is shaky. People are really frustrated. That surprised me a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the, you know, it's funny because you mentioned there's the entertainment side and then there's the sports side and there's also the business side of it. So then I had you on the podcast that night and I love the interviews. I'm like, it'd be so great. Let this guy, complete the story. That's what everyone wanted to see. So I was pissed off after two. And then I realized, and I'm a huge Roman guy because he's been good to me on the pod. But then I realized the WWE does have this thing going with the Bloodline storyline that is, I mean, to say it's successful would be a huge understatement. I think we all know what it's done for the business. So I get from that standpoint why they want to ride that out a little more. But like I said, this better end at some point with you getting a 1-2-3 on Roman, as much as I do like Roman too. But we, you got to get your turn here.
I've enjoyed watching what the Bloodline is doing. And I talked to Roman in the ring face to face. I believe it was the week before WrestleMania. And I now look back at that interview and feel like I am some sort of fortune teller, because everything I said in it, minus me beating him, has happened in terms of the cascade of events that have fallen apart with the actual bloodline. And Paul Heyman gets super kicked the other day. It's just all collapsing right in front of us for our viewing pleasure. I will say the thing I probably took the most offense to is I believe Roman did an interview, a press conference after, where he said, we're only in the third inning here. Something like that. You know, we're talking about the story and we're only in the third inning. And I thought, yeah, your third inning, the world of the WWE world does not directly revolve around you. For a while, it did. It did. But we're in this period now where things are popping off left and right. I wasn't in the third inning. I felt like that was the bottom of the ninth for me. And hey, maybe there was some wisdom to what he said. But yeah, that was I don't even know how to describe it. Just the feeling of loss was the largest I'd ever felt in my career. And then the feeling of, what do you do? Like, that's why I just kept wanting to look people right in the eyes and communicate to them the best that I could. It's going to be okay.
Better be okay. All right. Next WrestleMania, better be okay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Let's talk about the documentary. You also have SummerSlam. I haven't even mentioned that. We got SummerSlam coming up in a couple of weeks. Obviously, that's on Peacock as well. But the documentary will take place before SummerSlam. Why? Whose idea was the doc? Were you on board with it right from the start? I mean, WWE does these things are always done so well. They're always great. So I don't know if that was part of why you wanted to do it, but just take me through doing this documentary for Peacock.
I believe the documentary was completely Vince's idea. And I'm speculating here. I would believe it was because he wanted everyone to see the story I was talking about. Put it fully out there. That's the thing I want people to know in terms of, I came back, said I wanted to go for this one championship that Dusty never got, but let him see every piece of it. Let him see even, you know, footage from the Garden that night and what it was like, and let him see every piece of it. I think that was maybe the initial explain Cody to everybody. It was one of these. I think that's the initial outlook on the documentary. But Ben Hauser from ESPN, you probably know Ben. Ben Hauser from ESPN and 30 for 30 and all these wonderful docs he had done. He was the one who jumped on board and really made it something different than just a talking heads documentary. He really gave it this cinematic element to it, and walking through the desert and picking up different parts of my career. Matt Brain, who directed it, that's been a huge part. I was on board, to answer your question, on board. And then the amount they filmed with me and were so just in my private time all the time, I was not on board by the end of it. By the end of it, I just, it was, you know, like reality TV.
Yeah.
You got to get outside and put your hood up and just have that moment to yourself. And I didn't have it. But I won't lie. The moment they weren't there, I missed them. The moment they weren't there, I'm like, oh, we're not filming anymore. No, you know, it was part of that loss.
Well, there was some powerful stuff in there about your relationship with your father, Dusty. And, you know, we saw you crying and talking about his passing. And I think anyone who's close with their dad, I mean, I know I felt that when you were going through that. So how much today, day-to-day basis, you're on this phenomenal run right now in WWE. Everyone knows the story. Left, came back. Your popularity's through the roof. Some would say you're the most popular WWE superstar. How much of it is motivated still by Dusty, if at all?
I think a lot of fans, I remember seeing signs that said, do it for Dusty. And I'm informed in every decision I make, how I do business, how I like to be with a crowd. Those are all decisions that I make because of how Dusty brought me up. So he's always there and he's always part of it. But I'll say it's not really so much when I really look at it, it's about doing it for Dusty as much as my own family. And I'm careful because I don't want to get too emotional. But the moment I had Brandy and I had a baby, that just changed it all. And I know they tell you, hey, it changes it all.
Oh, yeah.
But it, you know, Liberty is amazing and a bazillion things I would say before I'd say this, but I'll say one of the selfish things that came from it, it freed me up, in my opinion, to be a better man. It freed me up to just go at this straight on. No politicking, no show businessy stuff. No, I want to be the best thing they have here. And I'm going to work hard to do it, report back to you guys. And if I miss, it's because of me. And if I hit, it's because of me. And that it really became more about her and Brandy. And it doesn't help that Liberty has like my dad's curls.
Right.
So it's still like doing it for him. People ask all the time, they're like, well, what if he had been there? Like, what would he have said? I guarantee you, had my dad known that I had a baby, because that was not expected for me to have a child. I don't think anyone in the family thought that I was ever going to be a dad. He would, that's all he would have cared about. I don't think
why did your family not expect you to have a child?
I don't know. I was so focused on doing this.
Right.
Chasing this crazy dream. Brandy and I were out there chasing it together when we worked as management at AEW. I just don't think anyone looked at us as we were ever going to have the time to do it. And we were getting a little older, which is a blessing because we're more experienced and a little more structure to our lives and house. But yeah, I don't think they looked at it as ever going to happen. That was going to chase this.
It's interesting to me because you said you felt like you became a man when you had your daughter. And one of the things that struck me in the documentary is, now listen, this is our second interview. I don't know you personally, but I follow your career, see you on social media. So I don't want to act like I know you, but what surprised me was there was a lot of focus on a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Your mom had a powerful quote in there where she said she thought you'd end up dead or in jail.
Yep.
I know you talked about drinking a little bit too much. And I see this Cody Rhodes and I'm like, I can't even imagine that. And so I get it when you say now, you know, about why they may have thought you aren't going to be a father. But do you think that experience was just youth, or were you, it was really like you just, your life was not what you wanted it to be at that time?
I really think that I had gotten close. You know, there were so many lightning in a bottle moments, or brass rings, as they were always called here, in my career, that I had gotten close. I think of Philadelphia all the time because I had one there at a Money in the Bank. I had these moments, and when you get that close, you get a feel of it. You get a sense of it. You can feel the crowd. You can hear the crowd. You can see things moving. And that was the most detrimental to me, because then I would go straight back down. Had right. I never tasted it, I would have not wanted it, maybe. Or maybe I would have, but I wouldn't have known just how special and sweet that connection with the audience could be. I have a hard time watching the Stardust stuff in the documentary. I kind of, in the premiere the other night, just kept my head down because I don't like to put blame anywhere. There's plenty of blame to go around on what happened, but I took too long to kick my own ass. I took too long to say, get up, like, go, man. You want to be this guy, right? You want to, well, start yeah. tomorrow. Like, start now. Don't even start tomorrow. Start now. And it took me too long. And that's why I compounded in such an explosive way, where I just walked away, and then the list and everything that that would happen. But yeah, it's definitely plenty of blame to go around. But the only thing I tell other wrestlers who are out there who are experiencing the yo-yo and the same thing is don't wait. You got to make a decision. You do. And this is we're at a big craps table here. You got to roll the dice, and you got to be prepared for what happens if you hit or if you miss.
All right, so this has been heavy stuff we've been discussing. I want to go a little lighter. And I don't want to make light of the yeah. fact that you may have been drinking too much at one point. But in the doc, they point out that you were drinking whiskey with Gatorade. That sounds disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Okay. What was the flavor?
Usually red Gatorade, because I wanted it to look red. Like, no way is homie drinking at the monitor. You know, I never did it before I was working, but it never got so bad where I had a problem, but I think naturally there's a problem if you're
looking, if you're at work.
Yeah. If you're looking to numb pain and you're out there and I'm wrestling Stardust versus R-Truth or whatever. And I don't think people knew the pain I was in. And at the time, I don't think anyone wanted to listen to the pain I was in. And then I got my wife too. That entire run through Stardust, my wife was on the road the whole time as a ring announcer for WWE, and most live events, she was the ring announcer. So how lame do you feel? She's out there getting to announce John Cena and Randy Orton, and then this is the guy she married, the guy jumping on the barricade and all the things that I would do as Stardust. I always tried to commit to it, But it was a lot of pain, and I didn't know how to properly go at it. No knowledge on how to handle something like that. Today, I'd approached it completely different. I definitely wouldn't have been mixing whiskey and Gatorade. And it was like cheap whiskey too, Southern Comfort or something. It was just a nasty cocktail, but it was helping me get through for a minute.
The fruit punch with the whiskey.
God, it's bad.
It sounds rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, when you were on last time, we had run out of time, and I had told you that I had watched, there was an episode of your wife's cooking show, Shot of Brandy, I believe it was called, where you appeared on it, and you talked about having a midlife crisis, and you started collecting figures. Is that the right word? Motu. I know.
I started collecting Motu figures, Masters of the Universe stuff. Yeah.
And you said, when you come on next time, we'll talk about having a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. It sounds like yours came way before midlife.
I think it's not a quarter life, and it's not a true midlife. But I was having the same symptoms of other new hobbies, wanting a new vehicle. Like, I wanted to get an exotic, like a classic muscle car. It was all popping up at once. And that's the only way I knew how to describe it, as I was in crisis. And then I probably wouldn't say it was a crisis as much as it was a phase, because I collected these Masters of the Universe figures, Vintage, Origins, Masterverse, all this stuff. And then I went on a Kickstarter and I supported their biggest, like this giant, as big as this backdrop, this giant playset. I now don't collect them anymore. So I'm still waiting for this thing to get delivered. And I thought they were cool. And I love the concept of He-Man was one of my favorite things growing up. But yeah, now I have all these figures. I got a pretty good collection. I have nowhere to put them. They're in boxes. I'm a real shameful collector. Like my friends who are in the toy collecting world, they would consider me a hack for sure.
It was a phase. It was definitely a phase.
Yeah, it was a phase. And I don't know what spurred the phase. I think I had more free time.
Right.
Maybe during that period because I was on such a lighter schedule. And free time for somebody like me is a bad idea. Give me no free time. Yeah. Just work.
I would imagine now with the WWE, you know, with your status in the company and having a kid, you don't have a ton of free time right now.
No, and it's not free anymore. When you're done doing this, your job is to hang out with her and be with her and be with the family. And that's the best. Right. That's the best. I'm starting new traditions with her where she wants to go to Starbucks. I don't know why that became a thing, but we go to Starbucks and she brings our little Pomeranian, our little dog. And we don't have in the car, I don't have a video for her. So it's just her and I riding and talking. And that's a really cool thing I like to do every day that I'm home.
What's her order at Starbucks?
Cake pop.
Oh, just for the cake pop. Got it.
Yeah, just the cake pop. And I think that's a bad call because I haven't hid it from Brandy yet, but eventually I'm going to have to hide it. We plan on if she's going to have dessert later in the afternoon or whatever, plan on this. But if it just becomes a thing where, she also had a cookie or a cake pop at 2 o'clock with Papa, then we're not doing the best job. But maybe I'll just hide it. My dad hid it. We used to eat terribly together. Fast food junkies. And we just kept it a secret.
What is Cody Rhodes' favorite fast food place?
Oh, I want to say it's not really based and rooted in today versus when I was growing up. It was Wendy's. It was solid. Wendy's. I get a number six spicy chicken combo, plain sweet and sour sauce to dip it in, fries, chocolate frosty. It was something about Wendy's.
I like Wendy's, but my issue is the fries are always terrible.
Yeah. And I'm hoping Wendy's is not a sponsor on anything. There's no one. I feel like a lot of the places that I loved as a kid, fast food wise, have kind of faded out.
Yeah.
Now we've got places that are a mix of fast food, like your Five Guys and things like
that. Right. Right.
We have these middle ground stops. I don't know. I did love Wendy's though growing up, but the fries were never the thing. Whereas McDonald's around the corner, the fries, the golden fries, they were hot. And Liberty mentioned to us a Happy Meal. We have no clue how or why. She just said she wanted a Happy Meal. We haven't done it yet, but once you start down, what do you? She's not going to like any of the fresh food anymore.
Soon as she gets that first hit of those French fries, it's over. The salt, the hotness, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do though? Mickey D's. Did you get a Grimace shake?
I did not. My niece got one when we went. I don't know. Something about a purple shake doesn't do it for me.
It didn't look appealing to me. But my mom went all around looking for one for my nephew and found it. And I think he gave it feel like it was probably just a barely a thumbs up.
It's like that's so funny because that my niece had the same exact. She was like, she wasn't overwhelmed by it. I did mention this on the podcast. After I went to SmackDown that night, a couple weeks ago at the Garden, they just opened a Raising Cane's in Times Square. Nice. I don't think Cody Rhodes could probably stroll into Times Square into Raising Cane's, but I was impressed with Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's is but it's another one of those, like the gourmet style, quick fried chicken.
Yeah.
I like Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's is good. If I don't do pizza for a cheat meal, I have two great Georgia traditions, Chick-fil-A being the one.
Right.
Zaxby's is right around the corner too. If Chick-fil-A is on one of those weird days where it's got two lines operating and all that. Yeah. So I'm a sucker for some good fried chicken.
We don't have Zaxby's here in New York, but there's Chick-fil-A's here and they're opening more and more. I have one right by my house. It's on a main road and the cars are backed up on the main road in the middle, 12:30 in the afternoon, and it's just insane. Where I live, there's a Chick-fil-A, and directly across the street is Popeyes.
And, oh, wow.
You know, you have your pick of the, you know, which one you want to go to there for the fried chicken.
At Atlanta Airport, I've been there many morning where that line is around like the corner, just waiting for them to raise the gate for Popeyes to open at Atlanta Airport. You know, that's another staple, the crunch.
The crunch. Yeah, and it's not greasy fried chicken. I don't know how they do it, but they manage to like not make it too greasy, which is key.
Popeyes is baller, and then as we divulge all these different traits, there was a place that Arn Anderson was really in love with. I'm trying to think of what it's called, but I mean, he would over order to the point where he could fall asleep with like a chicken biscuit on his chest. trying to think what it was, but yeah, that he was always a sucker for all the fried chicken.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Well, since we're on lighter topics here, I want to ask you about the suits. The suits, I feel like. And it's okay. So I'm gonna turn this into two questions in a way, because I was taught my niece, I mentioned, is a huge fan of yours, and she wanted me to ask you, quote unquote, what gimmick did you like better, Stardust or something? And I said, I don't think they like the word gimmick. So let me start with that. Do you guys not like the word gimmick? I think character is a little more respectful. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I guess character is like a refined way to say it. With me, Stardust could be gimmick character because it really was a detached piece of me. Whereas today people will be like, yeah, I don't really know about this American Nightmare gimmick. And I feel bad because I'm thinking, well, it's not really a gimmick. It's a nickname, but that's everything you're being told about this wrestler is real and what who I am. So yeah, I guess it depends on what portion of your career. I never mind here. I used to mind hearing the terms all the time. Yeah. And now it's the fans have taken the language for themselves as well. So as long as everyone's enjoying it, I will say you hear the terms used incorrectly a lot.
Right. Right. All right. Well, I'm going to use gimmick just for this question. Are there suits part of the Cody Rhodes American Nightmare gimmick? Because I feel like, I mean, the way you dress, it's always at the top. And it's like, I want to know, like, does Cody ever wear shorts and flip-flops?
Yes.
Okay.
A very rare occasion I will. Here is the long road to this. Sitting here now, I feel like a suit, a tie, good shoes, all the fashion elements are very much something I enjoy. I like. I like coming to work. And WWE is very, you see a lot of people show up in the coolest of outfits. It's almost like a fashion show. At 2 o'clock at call time, people are excited to be going to work and they dress for work. New Japan was the same way as well. Some of the guys in New Japan had some of the nicest suits, just handsome, Sonata, Okada, all these guys. But I will back it up all the way to when I first started wearing them, which was when I started doing independent wrestling. So I waited to leave WWE. And that's where I had freed myself up to make the decision of I'm going to be the guy that I wanted to be all along. And at that point, it was almost performative. And hey, I'll wear a suit so they know, oh, he's the guy from WWE. And I'll wear a suit on the plane so that when they talk to me and ask me what I do, their experience with a wrestler is different from if they were sitting next to a, you know, let me tell you something, brother type, you know, like it's just I want to subvert their expectations on how we are today in terms of we can be educated, we can be well-read, we can be cultured, we can be all these things. And then, so it went from, all right, this is presentation, this is gimmick. Then it went to, well, I'm their boss. So I want to have a standard of look and I want to have an appearance that will make people think, hey, if everything's falling apart, dude in the suit's got it. He knows. Hey, if this meeting's going wrong, if this pitch is not landing, I could handle it. And I was always doing media as well during that period. And that's the first period. And that was when I was AEW where suits started to make certain people uncomfortable. And you'll hear there's some podcasts out there that they just can't wrap their head around the suit. Like, why? You're supposed to be a baby face. Why are you in the suit? The moment that suit started making people uncomfortable, it's all I ever wanted to wear. It really is. Because if this makes you uncomfortable, that's something's wrong with you. I feel good. I want to show up here and be the best dressed and present myself in the most classy way I possibly can. How does it affect you? And it was real. You know, the kids say, I can't use the term, but it's like,
you could want to say
the most little penis energy thing I've ever heard is when people are mad that I wear suits. Like, hey, it doesn't affect you. It's not.
Who's mad exactly? Fans or other wrestlers?
No, never fans. But you, there's, listen, you're in, you, as someone who's covered this and seen it for a long time, there's a lot of guys from the Attitude Era and previous eras who just, their whole being and existence is talking about how we're doing this wrong today. We're doing wrestling wrong today. And I don't begrudge them because that's kind of their audience and they got to lean into it. But it's a weird stance to take when we're doing record business.
I honestly didn't know it was a thing. I was asking from the standpoint of you always come out.
Yeah.
You have a top. You're not wearing like some shitty suit from, I was going to say a store, but then they'll say whatever. You're not going to like JCPenney for a suit. You're wearing like a top notch suit. Always look classy. Always look. And I'm just like, my thinking is like, is he always comfortable in his, doesn't he ever just want to wear a t-shirt and flip flops? It's like 90 degrees outside. How about like being comfortable one day? That was, I didn't realize it was a thing in your career.
Oh, it's a whole,
this is fascinating to me.
It's a whole mental commitment now. Yeah. And I will say sitting here now, it's just who I love a suit. I love a good suit. Yeah. And here's the sad truth on why I can't wear flip flops. Occasionally I will spray tan for a show. You know, we found out the tanning isn't the best for you. So occasionally I'll spray. I don't wear the little things on my feet. So if you look at my feet, it looks like I have a legit toe fungus on every toenail. It looks
like God.
They're literally brown and yellow. Like even
from the spray,
even if you pedicure them and like get them right, they still look incredibly disgusting. So it's very rare that I think Brandy's the only one who knows what my feet look like. It's a it's a byproduct of this, the fun vanity world of pro wrestling.
So that's pulling back the curtain. Cody Rhodes has nasty feet because of spray tanning.
Yeah, they look nasty. The feet are not, they just look jaundiced and they look like you got something wrong with like the blood circulation in your feet.
One of the most shocking moments I've ever had on this podcast was I had Stone Cold Steve Austin on once and he told me he gets pedicures.
Wow. That shocks me.
There you go.
You know why it shocks me? I didn't think he had the patience for it. You got to sit there for a minute, you know?
Yeah. When I had him on the last time, I asked him if he got one recently. He said no. But the time I had him on a few years ago, he said he was getting them. And I want to ask you about the hair. Is that part of the character / gimmick that you have the blonde? We've seen you blonde. We've seen you dark. Well, let me start with this. I would assume that's a lot of upkeep. Like how I think my niece wanted to know how often you have to dye the hair.
Every 3 to 4 weeks.
And is that a pain in the ass, that process, or is it easy now?
It's easy now,
yeah.
But I do like the last week before you redo it, where it's basically just salt and pepper. It's split because you can get away with it on TV. You know, you can get away with it, but that's always a fun night to go check your phone, look at your mentions. And there's a whole like cosmetology side of the industry who has got problems with what your roots are showing. There's no toner. You know, and then I say the hardest part, and let her know this, the upkeep is even more difficult because the amount we're wrestling, we're competing,
right,
getting the hair pulled on, sweat through it every night, having to rinse it on the regular basis. So it is a process, but I got it down to a system. And I wouldn't say it's a gimmick as much as I mentioned this in the documentary. There came a point where it felt like I had the right to do it. Really did. A point where I thought, you know, Dusty was a famous bleached blonde, Flair famous bleach blonde. And I thought, I never did it because I wanted to get as far away from him as I possibly can. And now I want to get back as close to him as I possibly can almost. And that was the time where I felt like it was final battle was the pay-per-view I was going into where I first did it. And I never really wanted to not do it after that. It just became very much not unlike the tattoo. Hopefully there's not any more things, you know? But that they were all the pieces that needed to come together.
So I'm just curious, does your daughter have a reaction to your tattoo?
Sure. She says WrestleMania. So whenever she sees the logo, the tattoo, anything, everything I do is WrestleMania, because she never saw anything other than when we brought her to WrestleMania. And she's still big time early sleeper, nap time, structured, all that. So she's not getting, we're not letting her go on YouTube and check out any of the stuff that's going on, you know, on Raw or SmackDown, because I don't know if I'm ready for the conversation yet. And she's only two.
Yeah.
Very smart 2-year-old, but she's only two.
That's why I think at two, that she'd be fascinated by the tattoo.
WrestleMania, and then I have a giant scar for my pec. WrestleMania, boo-boo. WrestleMania, boo-boo. She'll show it when she comes over where my boo-boo is. And then this, whenever she sees it, like on our gym floor, we have a one that's plastered on our gym floor. She'll point at that, WrestleMania. So I have to explain it at some point.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Tell me about, I want to get back a little bit to the documentary before we wrap up. And obviously we have, WWE has SummerSlam coming up. Cody will be facing Brock Lesnar, and then July 31st, Monday, American Nightmare becoming Cody Rhodes on Peacock. In the doc, it's covered that Vince flew out to you to bring you back to WWE. And you said in the doc too that none of the conversation really was about wrestling until, like you said, the last 30 seconds. When you knew he was coming to fly out to see you, did you already know you were going back to WWE in your head, or did you have to be sold?
Most people will not believe the answer I'm going to give you, but this is the truth. And in the doc, I said, this is true honesty, which makes it sound like I'm lying already. So I'll give it no weight in a sense of qualifiers. I'll just tell you, when I went in for that meeting, I felt like it was closure on my first run there. I did not think of it as a pitch, an offer. I felt like, hey, I want him to know how much I learned from my time there, how much I stole from him, why I went out and banged hard against, why when I was on the opposition that I fought ferociously. All these things I picked up were very, I was very raised by WWE. I started at 20 with the company. And I wanted him to know that and just have that moment. You know, I would have regretted it if I had never really gotten closure with him. I'd already gotten closure with Hunter because Hunter started talking to me early in my ROH run, just very casually, but kindly. That's what I thought it was going to be. So it's different from how I left the meeting. And when I realized that I was going to be having the meeting in the first place, I remember my sister told me something that she was ahead of me on. I wasn't thinking this way, but she said, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for, because everything was happening. You're wanted, right. Wanted to be wanted. What are you going to do when your card is pulled? And that meeting was just, I almost feel bad talking about it so much, but it's a big part of it's mentioned in the doc. It was just very nice. And then we got to business with 30 seconds left, and maybe that was the strategy. Hey, it's such a great idea, yeah. You know, and then let him leave on that. But after it, I feel like it is fair to say I knew, we're definitely going this way. Yeah. Because my heart was going that way. You know, looking at all the offers, and, you know, AEW was paying me wonderful, and they had a wonderful offer as well. It just looking at it, wasn't about the money. Yeah. It was about something else.
Do you feel, you know, I mentioned Vince, but I feel like in your case, a lot of people are more fascinated by your relationship with Triple H. You mentioned that you'd been in contact with him, but obviously everyone knows the famous incident with the scepter and smashing the thing on AEW. And I thought in some of the shows it looked like something was going on, maybe storyline wise. I thought maybe we're going to have something where like Triple H is like preventing you from, I don't know if that was teased or not teased, but would you want to see a storyline like that maybe with Triple H involved, or you don't want to sort of go there with Triple H and keep it focused on you and Roman or whatever down the road?
Any opportunity to work with Hunter when he's Triple H, any opportunity is a blessing for me, because even when I was smashing the throne and doing, you know, possessed stuff on BT, whatever it was, even when I was doing that, I'd always tell people. I did it in a Zoom one time with me and the Bucks. So who do you want to wrestle? Who's your dream match? And I would always say Hunter. And then I patterned a lot of how I did my bit at AEW after Hunter. So anytime you get that experience with Triple H, the character, you just want to absorb as much as you can, take it all in. That type of knowledge isn't going to be around forever. Not as many people have that type of knowledge. I would love to do something, but I think what's preventing us from doing anything, not wrestling, you know, because obviously him and his heart and having come back out of that. But I think what prevents that is my dad, in a weird way. I like Triple H because he's Triple H, because I wrestled him and he was one of the guys pulling the wagon here when I was here for the first run. And I like his style and I like a lot of things about what he does. But I think maybe he just looks at me and thinks he's got to take care of Dusty's son. And hopefully that's not the case.
That's interesting. Yeah,
I could be wrong, but they were close. And my dad had a really unparalleled respect for Hunter. My dad didn't respect many people. I hate saying that, but he'd smile and nod and put up with a lot of people who had opinions, and, you know, but I think from a peer level, there weren't a lot of guys who had been world champion. There weren't a lot of guys who sold tickets to events. And then there was Hunter, somebody who had done it and somebody who wanted to give my dad this new chapter in his career, like my dad had done for so many old timers and things like that. Hunter did it for him, not unlike Mr. Heyman did it for him. And I think that bond is really kind of what keeps me and Hunter from going down a path of being against one another. You never know, though. You never know. You never know. I mean, I'm doing pedigrees out there. At any point, you could turn around and take one courtesy of the game. So you never know.
All right. You never know. It's good. I think I got to let you go. You said you guys, when you have Monday Night Raw, you have a 2 o'clock call time. Is that what you said? Or can you be late?
I can be here for a minute. I'm good.
Are there like the Jordan rules in the W? Are you familiar with the Jordan rules? It's a sports. So like, do you have those? Like Roman can show up whenever he wants, and Seth could probably push the envelope a little bit. You could push the envelope a little bit without getting in trouble.
I think right now, the way the structure is because everyone's pretty grown, we know what we're doing. I'm definitely going to take the creative direction or talk with your writer. We know what we're doing. That does create a sense where you see a little bit more of you know, not everyone's their first day on the job there at time, you know, ready to do this and just worried about ruffling feathers. With me, I'm here earlier than two, though, because my day is all the thing. Be careful what you wish for. Everything. I have something going on every hour. Whether you're doing some media, whether you're doing stuff in pre-tapes, like I think I don't know when this will air, but I don't think anyone would be mad. I'm going to do something for NXT Great American Bash here. I think maybe it's just a voiceover, but getting ready to do that. Then I have to sign all these probably 100 weight belts, 300 photos. So I got it. I'd rather be here early to knock all this stuff out so that you give yourself, you know, 3 to 4 hours before the actual Raw goes on where you can really sink in. And I don't ever like to rush. So I'm here.
I will not be offended in any way, shape, or form if you say no. Do you like doing this stuff? Do you like doing interviews, podcasts? Are you sick of it? Do you get tired of it? Really?
So I love media, but I am very scared of doing it now because twofold. I did so much when I was at AEW as the spokesperson for the company that naturally, like we're talking about at the very top of the interview, naturally something you say draws a comparison or draws someone to tell you their opinion. And unfortunately, I use social media, so I can't knock social media. But unfortunately, some places, some of these aggregate sites just throw up a quote from something that we just said, and they're talking just about that quote. And they're not, there's no context given. And that's a little scary. Like today, today we're speaking, a couple interviews I did from the red carpet, the full interviews have dropped. And there's plenty of people who are excited about that and their views and their clicks. And then you see a lot of, I would say, disenchanted AEW fans who are upset with something. And I wish if they could look at the full context of how I'm saying it and how proud I was of that period and how I'm proud of this period as well, they'd get it more. But that's the only, that's the tricky thing. You want to do the interview, you want to be featured on this. And then there's sometimes a little bit of a fallout these days where people really, something you said, they really stick with. I'm a big oversharer. We've been talking about Wendy's on this podcast. I don't, you know, like I wish, and I've learned that if you say something, you got to stand by it. But not everything I say is the law. You know, it's just in the moment.
Yeah, you're entitled to it. All right, so let's do this. We're going to get people riled up. This probably is the most important question I'm going to ask in the entire podcast.
Here it is.
Barbie or Oppenheimer?
For me, it's an easy Oppenheimer.
Have you seen it yet? You go to the movies? Can Cody Rhodes even go to the movies? Do you have time to go to a movie?
We're going to go this week.
Okay, good.
Yes. Last movie I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because Dave's a wrestler, and even if he doesn't want to, I'll come out of the pocket for all wrestlers doing anything else. I'll see that just because I love history. Love history. It went from American history to global history because I feel like part of being the American nightmare is I'm pro-America all the time. One of the things I've learned from traveling since I was a kid is not everyone is pro-America. So you've got to get the perspective of how do they look at World War II versus how we look at World War II? How do they look at this versus how we look at it? And I just like anything that can kind of wrap its head around some historical moment. Not that I'm not going to see Barbie too. Cena's in Barbie. So I got to go support that. But I think I'll go Oppenheimer first.
Got it. Well, you've answered all the hard hitting questions. So
yeah,
I appreciate it. I don't want you to miss your call time by too much. So thanks for coming on again.
I
hope you enjoyed it.
Go ahead. I'm going to sit in this room and maybe avoid a meeting because there's a 20-minute block before the next interview. And if they don't know I'm in here, they won't come get me. So
Who's your next interview with? Who should I interview?
DC, Danielle Cormier. ESPN, yeah.
I know you did an interview with Chris Van Vliet. Yeah, it's coming out the same day as mine. And he does so great job, so I'm a little bummed. But, you know,
he dropped his today.
I thought it was tomorrow. Okay.
No, he dropped. Oh, man. I don't know.
Can I just tell you, even my niece said to me yesterday, no one's going to watch your interview with Cody if it's the same day as Chris Van Vliet.
Okay, your niece has a lot of opinions.
She does. She's a huge WWE person, so she has a lot of opinions. So I didn't need that opinion.
So we did, as long as it's signal boosted, then everyone will watch it, you know? Or no, everyone's gonna watch it.
Well, hopefully if I can, you know, you're on Twitter, you see it, you retweet it, and then, you know, people will watch it, and, you know.
You have a word.
Let me apologize. I said Twitter. I mean X.
Is it X now?
It's X now.
Oh man, what a mess. What a beautiful app that's just falling apart in front of our eyes.
The funniest thing about this is like Elon's partner or whatever came out with a statement about they want it to be like this one-stop shop for like marketing and making money and videos and all this stuff. And I don't know, this may say something about me that I know this, but this morning when I logged onto Twitter to start my job, I saw the trending topics and X videos was trending. And if someone puts that in Google, they're not going to want to do that.
No, no.
Yeah. So that's what he caused by this now. This is what this has caused.
X is a bad call. And if you look at an interview with Elon, he's a fascinating, fascinating individual. But Twitter's getting a little suspect. I can't say I'm going anywhere. It's built up this fan base. But man, like, you know, the last thing you want to do is if you have the cool thing, when you lose the cool, you could be the smartest human being on earth, which I believe he's one of them. But when you lose the cool, people go away.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. Like, I'm here till it goes out of business. But like, it's like, can we have like one day of normalcy and calmness?
Do you have a TikTok?
I got banned from TikTok.
Okay, so why did you get banned from TikTok? And then I'm going to tell you what my TikTok experience.
I got banned from TikTok for copyright violations because I posted a ton of videos on there from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld. And like Warner Media, whatever, went out and put a hit on me. And my account got banned. And then I started a new account. Like, my name on TikTok used to be Jimmy Traina. So now I made it Jimmy.Traina. But like, no one's following me. I'm not, but like, when you're my age and you get banned from TikTok, it's such an embarrassment. It's hard to pick up the pieces and move forward.
Interesting.
But yeah, so, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld videos. Like, I wasn't doing anything, you know, like
too nefarious.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I told the social media team at WWE is wonderful. A lot of young guns though.
Yeah.
One of them come up to me and said, "Hey, are you interested in starting a TikTok? It would be huge." And I remember a social media firm a year ago that I was going to take over all my social media, but they wanted some exuberant amount of money. So I was like, ah, no. But in their initial pitch, they were like, we really need to get TikTok. It's a great part of the strategy. I'm like, okay. So this guy finally comes to me. This is like the 100th person to mention TikTok. And I said, you know what? Yes. Let's start a TikTok and maybe get it going around SummerSlam. And here's my rules for TikTok. Don't make me look fat. You come up with the content. You come up with the content and I'll absolutely post it and signal. I'll do whatever you need. So we have this whole discussion. Easy. Done. Get the TikTok ready. Get it on my phone. Get it on your phone. Let's go. And then on my app that tells you about your meetings and what's happening on your day of work, a new memo comes up saying I have a meeting at the next Raw and it's blocked out for an hour over TikTok strategy. And I thought, this is hot. No, just do the TikTok. I'm ready to get on TikTok. I think they've got it rolling. I did a couple bits for it this weekend. So hopefully I don't experience the ban like you, but
I'll follow you on there. But we need a separate podcast now about your rules for TikTok. Don't make me look fat. How could you possibly look fat?
Well, so don't make me look fat comes more from when we're out there, even when you're lean and mean, like, I was almost 7% body fat for Mania. And that's not, I feel like not even healthy for the way this gig works. You know, you're good being between 8 and 12, even higher. But when we're out there, we're huffing and puffing and we're breathing. It's not just the Mr. Olympia where you hit your pose and you lean. So you got a lot of like moments that aren't super flattering. And some of these dudes will like post a photo. I'm like, man, you just couldn't have like, help me out a little bit here. You can't edit a photo. That's cheating. But just use a better photo.
So, you know, in this screwed up world, a TikTok where they just post photos of you like that would do super successful. where you're huffing and puffing and maybe don't look
like
your best.
Like breathing out photos.
Yeah.
And they're that's. There was also a company I worked for that would take a photo of you. You'd stand there like new shirt or you'd be in your gear. They take a photo of you and then they wouldn't retouch them at all. And the next thing you know, it would be on a 7-Eleven poster. This was in New Japan. And you'd be like, why? Why? Like you didn't even help me out here. So with photos, I'm super, super picky about. That's my rule. Don't make me look fat and don't make me come up with what we're doing. And I'm in.
I love it. That's hysterical. All right. Well, everyone look for Cody on TikTok. Look for Cody at SummerSlam on Peacock against Brock Lesnar. And of course, Peacock Monday, July 31st, American Nightmare becoming Cody Rhodes. Cody, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Please tell your niece I said hello. I'm interested in your opinions on our talk.
Don't say that because they'll be coming.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, my thanks to Cody Rhodes. Had a lot of fun chatting with him. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you're a WWE fan and you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Trina, hit the subscribe button. We're going to have Seth Rollins on the podcast next week. And like I said, this is one of two pods for this week. We'll have another one out later this week. All right, my thanks to Cody. Thanks to you for listening. And we'll see you later in the week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.